Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. It was a dark and stormy night. Yes, welcome to Journeys with JP.
I know,
unintelligible. All right, but hopefully you should have got me nice and clear now. I did deliberately put echo on. Yes, it's a very dark and stormy night here in the north of Scotland. Welcome to everybody around the world. It's probably quite a nice day where you are. I don't know. I don't know how the weather is. So let me know how it is in the chat rooms. We're just experiencing. We had 4 inches of snow last night fall on my house, it was somewhere on the line. We had 4 inches of snow last night, and by the time it came around to 4 o'clock this afternoon, those 4 inches of snow had gone because the wind was blowing about 50 miles an hour. So we've now got the wind with rain storm of this week's weather here in northern Scotland. It's one of those places where if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. It really is a very changeable place. So from snow to rain to wind. I've got the stove running downstairs. I just threw a 6-inch-wide log into it, so it should last the length of the show. Although the speed of the wind is pulling the flue really strongly, so it could be, you know, fried to a red hot crisp in about 10 minutes. But there we go. So, there we go. Not in Sunday. Dark and cloudy. Oh, yes. Overcast. Well, and this should tell you exactly how long the delay is going on here. So, I'm just reading them out as they're coming overcast in Los Angeles. Flat raindrops in the mid-40s from LM. Well, yes. It is a dark and stormy night, as I said. And, I haven't got a guest arranged tonight. For some reason, I leave these gaps for me to expound. And sometimes there are guests who are, you know, called by the spirit to call in and join in with me. I had that, for instance, on Sunday night when Two Dog messaged me. He always messages me just when there's time, tonight he didn't, so I'm presuming that this is time for me to tell my story. And I'd like to speak about something that happened to me last Thursday. And as some of you know, I'm just moving house, and I'm moving into a new cottage, which is I live in the north of Scotland, and stone cottages are quite common, and it's also very common to live in what's called an old bothy. A bothy is a house, a building, And they're usually very bare. They may have a hearth in them, you know, a place where you can light a fire and make the place warm. And in the old days, they didn't even have doors or anything like that. You know, it'd just be a place that you could go to. You know, you're walking across the moors, or you're a shepherd or something like that, or you're a farm worker and you need to stay somewhere. So that's what a bothy is. It's the place where you can just go, like an open house. You don't have to pay for it. It's just part of the landscape, because it's a very, very harsh environment. So you really need places like that. So this cottage that I'm moving into has got a very reasonable rent, and it was quite ramshackle when I moved in, it had been lived in there by a very dear friend who'd been living there for a few years, and she's just moving on to France and other places. So she let me start the rent. So I moved in there, and well, I'm in the process of moving in because I need broadband, obviously, because I've got two, now three radio shows a week, and so I've been going between the old house where I am at the moment and the new house, and spending some time at the new house just offline, actually, without anything, you know, without telephone or TV or anything, just sitting there, running the stove, sitting by the stove, and it's a very, very cozy place. But it had this kind of atmosphere to it, which wasn't happy, it wasn't joyful. It was kind of, I think, what you call that is meh, M-E-H, meh. I was going about, you know, unpacking things and doing what I normally do, you know, just pottering around, you know, fixing things up, putting it on the shelf up and stuff. And the windows or the places where like bits of dirt had gathered, and I'd kind of look over at them, and you know how sometimes you see a face, you know, you just need two dots and it starts to become a face. And I started seeing a rather unhappy face. They were kind of, well, not unhappy, but like meh. And I thought, I wonder if there's anything here. This is not my normal way, you know. I'm learning the new normal. I'm learning new things. So I'd like to share a little bit about this new stage of my journey, because I think other people will also be moving into this, because I don't think I'm unique. I think I'm part of an enormous movement of human beings moving into, let's say, extended perception, at least. And when I started noticing these things, and I'm not one of these people, I see faces, I see ghosts, no, I don't see anything like that, but I just got I feel things, I have a sense, you know, in a sense. So I started looking at this and thinking, maybe there's somebody else here. And then I started a very interesting conversation with my higher self guides. You know, I take a blank word document, and then I start typing from what I feel. And it's often different from me, if you see what I mean. So it's like a conversation, and I can, like one part of me speaks to another. Call it what you will. I mean, people call it automatic writing or conversations with God if you've Neil Donald Walsh, but essentially it's the same thing. It's like one half of me talking to the other half of me in an attempt to, you know, be balanced and be normal. So, as if we could be normal in this unnormal world. I started this conversation, and I asked my guides, you know, who seem to know lots of things, you know, is there an entity in this house? And they came back and said, yes, there's four, which gobsmacked me. You know, I was like, four? You know, I wasn't expecting the one. You know, four. I've got three rooms in this house. It's a tiny little house, but it's perfect for me. I'm a single guy. There's a nice large kitchen, a bedroom, and a living room. Just three rooms in a thick stone-walled cottage. And And so I asked the guys, you know, there's four entities, yeah. My guides gave me instructions on how to help these beings across. Because basically what happens is that there are people who die while they're experiencing strong emotions that tie them to the earth. And these are what people call earthbound spirits. And essentially, part of their soul energy is tied up. It's a bit like Prometheus being nailed to the or chained to the wall in the cave, having his liver pecked out. It's like a recurring Groundhog Day nightmare that goes on and on and on until that little loop gets released. And so it will draw the energy towards it. So, you know, somebody who may have anger issues, there'll be maybe an angry ghost going at some point. And, well, we'll talk about that later. But what I'm saying is that like attracts. So anyway, I didn't want any of that kind of stuff going on in my house. So I spoke to them. I said, is it possible for them to move? And my guides were saying, yeah, that is very, very possible. Excuse me. This is how you do it. So first of all, they encouraged me to actually speak to this being in the same way that I speak to the guides. So they did. They all had a kind of story because the emotion that they were stuck in, a story. And when I was... So I spoke first of all to the entity that was in the kitchen. Now, at that point, I didn't really know how to. Like I said, this is the first time I've ever done that, started speaking to this being, and I kind of tuned in. I tuned into the emotion of it, and it had a strong sense of resentment. Which I found very interesting, isn't it? You know, it's an odd emotion to be stuck in. But you know, if you were a farm worker, and that's what it turned out to be, it was like a kind of slave race, really. And it's normally the English farm lords, you know, archons, lords of the land, lairds they're called here, but they're still, you know, overlords. Because they're conquering, and the local people are used as throwaway cheap slave labor. And certainly that's how it was in the old days here. Scotland is kind of, it's like a second world country. People don't really realize that there is still this kind of feudalism that is going on here that exists. And that's where I find myself. So I find myself on this old estate cottage, and it's now a farm. And the guy breeds cows and grows them in the fields and sends them off for slaughter, and they end up as your hamburgers and things like that. They're all gorgeous. I love the cows, I have to say. We've had cows here in the old house. They live in the field next door. So I'm very used to them. I'm really used to the smell of them. It's a homey smell now, really. It's much better than pigs. Pigs don't smell nice, but cows have this kind of lovely, warm, grassy kind of smell. Anyway, so that's a good question. I didn't actually take any of their rays, but I would imagine that there would be a lot of sixth ray involved, because that's the ray of the emotional plane, and people with emotional issues tend to get this, tend to have strong sixth rays, often because of karma and this whole question about re-looping through the years, the same, you know, living in the same emotion. Anyway, so this first fellow had a deep resentment, and. If I had a picture of him, it was like Dobby from Harry Potter. I don't know if anyone ever seen that character, but he's like really downtrodden. You know, he's a slave, and he's rather resentful towards the family, as you saw in the film. That's the way, you know, that was the kind of energy that I was getting, that kind of Dobby energy. And he was just kind of lurking in the corner, just kind of sulking and resentful, and yes, it was an odd little thing. So anyway, you know, the first thing that my guys told me is to inform them that they're actually dead, because a lot of people don't realize that they're dead, and they go about their normal kind of what they would do in their day, or sit in that emotional space that they were in and remain there. Turns out this poor fellow has been there since the 1700s, just sitting there, kind of sulking away. So they told me to get hold of a crystal, you know, pick up a crystal, and fortunately, I got loads of crystals. I don't know if everybody knows me, but I'm well into crystals, so I had a big bowl of crystals, and I picked a nice little one out there. And basically, you allow the crystal to allow the energy of the entity to come in. But first of all, the entity has to discharge. You have to discharge that feeling. I helped it, you know, come to terms. In this space, you know, you can say, look, it's 2012. You know, you've been like this for 300 years. You can just let go of this and move on and move to the light. Boom, off it went. So that was the first one. So then I went to the living room, and there was a very interesting conversation. So in there was, he was an army major at the time, and I think he was from the 1800s or so, he'd had an accident on the moors, he basically, you know, managed to make it to this bothy. Probably the weather was terrible like today. Make it to the bothy, and he died there. And he was a military man, and he was full of guilt, because he, you know, he basically let down his family and all of that stuff, and, you know, the country and all that stuff. So, again, I explained to him, you know, that he was actually dead, and you could come out now and move through that, and boom, off he went. And so that was the living room and the kitchen cleared. So I, you know, checked out, and there didn't seem to be much going on in the bedroom. They said, you know, the guide said that there were two entities, so. I said, all right, come on to the crystal, and they, you know, and then there was, then it was like, excuse me, who are you, kind of energy coming in, and I started this conversation, and it was one of the beings in the bedroom, and I think this is probably the oddest story. So what happened was the two in the bedroom happened to be a pair of guys who had gotten drunk one night. They'd bought a whole bottle of whiskey. This is whiskey country, you know. They'd gotten drunk, and they shared a bottle of whiskey and got into an argument and got into a fight. And in that fight, they killed each other. And they've still been fighting all those years. And one of them was locked into this frustration because the other one was locked into his anger and couldn't be spoken to. And they were locked in this eternal battle going on. It was very, very strange. And so I managed to speak to one of them, and this was the frustrated one because, you know, he kind of sort of knew what was going on, but couldn't explain it to the other guy. And you know, he kept on fighting, he kept on hitting. He said, could you speak to this guy? Can you speak to the other guy? I had their names as well, they were funny little names. Sure, and I said, excuse me, and this this guy says, "Who are you?" And he says, "Well, I'm Jeremy, and I live in this house now, and the year is 2012, and it appears that you've been dead for, you know, a couple of hundred years, and you don't believe it, but here I am. This is the here and now. It's not a fiction. You know, this is a reality around you that has changed." And as soon as they saw it, they're able to see it, and they kind of relaxed into it and went into the crystal. And then my dad said, "Okay, leave the crystal overnight with exposure to the dawn light, and so exposure to the east." And so I took it out to the garden, and there it was. The next day, by the time I woke up, the crystal was kind of emptied, and they'd all moved on. And I had a bunch of visitors that day, and every one of them said, "Oh, isn't it great? You look great. Everything's great. It's a fantastic house." It didn't have that kind of meh anymore. And so those of you who will come visit the house will actually get to feel that. But I thought I'd share that little ghosty story. So, now, let's have a look. You are talking interesting things. ICB, yes. Psychography, yes. Thank you, sorry. That's a very good word for it. Psychography. Where are we? Sentient black oil. I'm just having a look at the chat room here. Has anybody got any input on this? Anybody experienced that? Anybody got a house that is actually a house that has funny atmospheres in different rooms? Would anybody like to call in? You can call in on two numbers. You can call in on 347-688-2902. That's 347-688-2902. That's the Revolution Radio dial-in number. Or you can also call in on Wall Spirit Radio dial-in number, which is 775-657-5973. That's great. So I'm just looking at that. Eisenberg makes his ghost pay rent. That's brilliant. So that was my little ghosty story. Oh, sounds like the wind has died down a little bit. Let's have some more in the background there while we're waiting. So, you want to call in with some ghost stories, some ghost issues, what you do, how do you exorcise? I had one previous experience with this, actually this is something that happened a few months ago, maybe about last year, about a year ago I think now. It was... And, you know, in this house where I am at the moment, which is what I call the old house, it was a funny little energy, and I heard it. I perceived it like a twinkling in the corner of my eye, and it was like, I don't know, like an area of disturbance. Oh, there we go. I'll finish that story later. Let's have a look, and we'll speak with area code 607. Before, good afternoon.
Well, and a good day to you, sir.
Mr. SJ.
Yeah, you hear an echo.
Have you got an echo?
Yeah, I've got it on my side, but it's no big deal.
I'll just turn my volume down a bit, or your volume down a bit, and that should sort that out. I've got quite a sensitive mic here.
We're getting pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah.
So we're having a great time on the chat discussing what you were discussing. Weezy has told us that he makes his ghost pay rent.
I know, that's great.
So what me and I, who is a newcomer, relatively new person to the chat, are discussing using the I Ching. And I was wondering if you happen to consult or use books like the I Ching, you know, collections of knowledge. And I'm sure you do.
I mean, what's happened for me, SJ? I mean, this is journeys, right? This is the journey. I'm just a regular guy. I was an IT guy, you know. Did have a big motorbike crash in 1986.
Bummer.
You know, woke up 3 weeks later, you know.
Oh, baby. So you went into a coma for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a whole different story there. Do you remember any of the period in coma?
Only a series of very, very, very intense what seemed to be dreams. I mean, they were really surreal, and like nightmare dreams, like horror films.
Oh yeah, uncontrollable.
But there was one kind of point of reality, which intruded in this dream state, and that was when they took me off the ventilator. Which was, you know, it's this big tube that goes down your throat.
Oh, yeah.
And does the breathing for you. And what they didn't realize is that my lungs were actually full of water. Like, I only had like one quarter of one lung that was actually breathable. There was only some air in there. And so.
Oh, yeah. Well, that kind of stuff happens all the time, you know?
Yeah. Well, my internal experience of it was that I was.
We were drowning.
I was in a, they obviously put me on loads of drugs. I don't know what it was, but I was in the dream, and I was in what they call the school for conformism. And within the school, they'd give you carbon monoxide as like a gas, a breathing mask thing. Mm-hmm. And that would put you in a sort of hypnotizable state, and that would then they would train you to conform. And this was long before I'd been into anything like what we're into these days, is sovereignty or anything like that.
Gotcha.
You know, it was very much in...
Well, how old were you? You were just starting to explore, right?
Yeah, well, I was 25, you know, I was just hanging out with bikers, having a good time, you know, doing what...
I are a biker.
Huh?
And I happen to have the same metaphysical exploratory curiosity as you.
Yeah. So anyway, when I got there, they pulled off this ventilator and I started hyperventilating. Obviously, I was trying to breathe with whatever tiny bit of lung that I still had left. And they didn't know what was going on. I was terrified. I have never been so terrified. It was like as if I was in a building where every alarm bell was ringing. That was the thing there. Yeah, kind of thing.
Well, it's horrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really horrifying. You know, I had a series of very weird dreams after that. It was very driven by these emotions that was going through my body.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, so they put the thing back in. But that was quite difficult because it then ruined my voice. I couldn't speak for about 2 weeks after I woke up. I was just,
oh, yeah.
I just speaking like a whisper because of the damage that they've done to my vocal cords. Anyway, so now, here I am. I've got a nice voice now. It kind of all works out.
I've been through all that, man, I'll tell you. Haven't had a coma. The rest I've encountered firsthand. And it really shakes you.
Mm-hmm.
It does separate you from anyone else that hasn't been there. On the other hand, it gives you tremendous compassion and understanding.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because
we learn by everyone else's mistakes as well as our own.
Mm. And, you know, in terms of the spiritual journey, the spiritual path, very many people on the spiritual path report as their awakening experiences, something like an NDE, an NDE experience, or something that forces you to step away from normality, you know, sometimes like a bad acid trip or something like that.
Yeah, pardon me, I have an emergency. I'll be right back.
Okay, so catch you later. He's still on the line. So anyway. So we've all had this, that's right, and don't inhale the non-conformity gas. Yes, indeed, it was very much like that. Teddy Blacks. All right. It was very interesting time, this whole kind of coma event. But anyway, back to the event that happened last year while I was in the house, just before SJ calls. He'll be back in a little while. It was a dark and stormy night. I don't know. I think it was maybe like a summer's night or something like that. Anyway, I was here doing my normal Facebooky things, and so again, a very similar process happened. It was like a kind of tap on the shoulder. It was like something distracted me behind me. I live in this little attic room here, upstairs from the kitchen, and it's an odd shaped room, and I'm facing away from the window, and you know, there's this thing. It's like it's tapping on my shoulder, but it isn't. But it drew my attention behind me, and I saw this kind of little sparkly thing. It's a bit like, you know, when you see a hot road, when the tarmac is hot, and you see this the kind of smoke rising. You see the films of the aeroplanes and the cars coming through this hot tarmac thing. It was that kind of shimmery effect of a soft light, and it was very weak. Oh, there we are.
Sorry, I had my dog alarm went off.
Oh, right, the dog alarm. Is that in case the...
I have to get... I have a surprise visit, and I have to get to it. But this is... I love it when you explore things the way that you are.
Thank you.
And it's certainly legitimate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking... Because I'll finish the story later, and because there's...
I'll call back in a short while.
Okay, so God bless you.
Thank you, bro.
So there we are, and so I'm in the old house, and I'm typing away on Facebook or something like that, and this thing attracts my attention. So I go into kind of my mode and get my guides. The way I communicate with my guides is very simply: I open a Word document and I ask a question, or I often say hello. That is a very interesting little sound, the word hello, because that's a sound that's existed for a long time. And this hello is the name of a lot of people's spirit guides, it seems. And the plural in Hebrew is a im. So if you're saying to a group of people that you say hello to, you know, you're talking to the Elohim. So I found it very interesting that I use this hello kind of introduction to speak to my guides. So I spoke to my guides. They tell me, I can take a crystal, and I speak to this little fellow. And this one was full of fear. And it had been tortured and made blind, and it had been lost for a very long time. I asked my guides again what to do, and they said, take a crystal and do the same thing. So basically what it seems to do, it seems to be a very, very simple thing to do if you want to expunge energies from a house. Is you can do it by using any crystal. You have intention in mind, and you go along to wherever you've got your batter of crystals, and you pick up the one that feels like, that kind of draws its attention to you, or draws your attention to it. And you can then kind of ask the crystal to kind of soak it up like a Hoover, like a vacuum cleaner. And then it will allow the spirit, the entity, to leave the house. It seems that the rays of the rising sun seem to do it for it, perhaps because you've got the higher frequencies going on there with the ultraviolets and everything. That does seem to, clear the crystal. It's gone. There's no more energy inside the crystal with this thing. So it is... It's very, as I said, you know, I don't feel myself to be like an exorcist. Hang on, that's just an
exorcist.
I don't do that. I'm just a guy. I'm just an IT guy. God's sake. But people keep coming to me with these issues, and I keep experiencing these things, and so I'm learning. And this is my journey into becoming more of a what can we call that? I don't know. Psychic warrior. That's a bit glamorous, really. You know, it's like IT guy. It's like, yeah, spirit IT guy, whatever. Turns out that there are lots of machines that pick up on spirits because, you know, for instance, a desktop computer is a space. You know, there's a lot of, you know, stuff, you know, metal and circuit boards, but there's a lot of air in it, a lot of space inside it. It does have an intake fan, and you don't know what comes in. You know, there might be something, you know, because somebody comes in drunk, they've been down to the pub, there's something hanging onto it, and it jumps off them and into the computer and starts messing about. You know, just pulling at the cables and doing its gremlin thing. This is real. You know, when you're talking about microelectronics, you're talking of like nanotechnologies almost. And so it's very easy to move a few atoms around or a few electrons here and there and muck something up. Oh, look, there goes the phone. Right, I'm going to just do that. Shut up. Okay. Don't call me while I'm on the air. So does the energy get trapped in the crystal, is Lady Equipo? No, because the crystal has been programmed to give up the entity as soon as the rays from the rising sun or the eastern sun hit. That seems to be what it was saying to me. Because the crystal is like a rechargeable battery. You know, you can plug it in and recharge it and fill it with energy and then discharge it by taking energy from it. If you imagine that the crystal is like a sponge, like you can mop things up with a sponge. You can, you know, you squeeze a sponge and it will draw up water inside it, and then you can go elsewhere and squeeze it out, and the water comes out. So, you know, that's how we clean things. So really, what I'm saying is that the energy is cleansed and is released from the crystal once the light comes on it. That's the program that you give the crystal. So there we go, a pea powered bike. You're in fusion. And so I'm just having a quick look at all this stuff. No catheter. Cold fusion. All right. Very good. I like it. So Heisenberg uses cold fusion in his IT work, and he puts gas in his bike from the money that he gets from that. Very good. Who was on the line with Jay was SJ from Revolution Radio. Ah, bless. Anyway, so if anybody else wants to come in, I've got 20 minutes here, and we can talk ghosts. Because, you know, I'm a nonconformist. I don't tell ghost stories on Halloween. I tell happy stories and jokes on Halloween. And that's the way I roll, as they say. So it's lovely to have you all here. I would like somebody to call in and all right, Trippy. Oh, yeah. So that's that's the next thing that happens. So I have a happy house, and my ex-wife comes along the next day, and I tell her the story. And so we're sitting around, you know, we're having a meal, and you know, with our son, and I tell her the story, and she goes away, and she's kind of all skeptical about it, and she goes back to her house, and she's got a lodger there, and she was telling the lodger about the story, and the lodger was looking at her in this way, and thinking, and she really didn't know whether he was accepting the story or thinking, you know, she was talking rubbish. And eventually he came up and said, do you think Jeremy could come over here? Apparently the guy's been waking up at night with, sleep paralysis and feeling that he's not alone, and all this weird stuff has been going on in his life. So this may be part of a new career for JP here, I will report back in the future as to what's been going on. But there are a lot of ghosts here in Scotland. A whole country full of ghosts. Very strong emotions and unreleased energies. So maybe that's part of my next task. Maybe why I've been moved from where I am now, which is kind of it's been a bit out of the way. And where I'm moving to is kind of quite close to Main Road. It's about 2 miles from the Main Road, so it's more or less just a little bit off the way and not far out from the beaten track. And so it's a very new direction for me, and it's one that I've got little experience, but I think I've got quite a lot of support. Ah, yeah, and I think we're back. Yeah. And, yes. So, maybe I will be joined by Andrew. Okay. Yes, that's Andrew there. And we're just about to be joined by Andrew Bartis. Good evening. Good afternoon. Hey, I've been on the air, Andrew.
Hey, JP. How are you doing today?
All right. So, I just thought I'd set the scene for this evening's show. And we're going to be starting a new little project together, aren't we?
That's correct. We're going to have a couple Tuesdays a month, and then when Rebecca Jernigan figures out when she's going to do her one show a month, she'll take over another Tuesday. So, yep, we'll have 3 shows a month.
That's great. So, did you hear any of this? What I was just thinking.
I've been listening to the beginner. I'm ICU in the Rev Radio chat room.
Oh, that's you.
That's me.
Ah, no. So there you go. So so that was really, you know, I think you heard, don't know if I said that story the other day, but you heard this story about the ghost. Do I have the ghost of Oliver Cromwell? I don't think he went this far north. I'm very far north here in Scotland, so Oliver didn't come up this way. But I'm in Macbeth and Loch Ness Monster country.
Ooh. You're in ghosty country.
I really am. Yeah, this is. I mean, there is a house. It's funny, you know. It's like it's a real no-brainer. There's a house. They say when you go around this road, it says, "Ah, look, there's the most haunted house in Scotland." Right? This house is on a 90-degree bend that suddenly comes up on you, the house is directly on the road, right? It's like the road, if the road didn't bend round, it would go straight through the house. And presumably, hundreds of people have crashed into this car, into this house and died, you know, like, you know, as a road accident kind of thing. So I'm not surprised that that is the most haunted house in Britain. I haven't been there yet. Maybe I'll put a card through the door. Maybe I need a bit of practice first.
Exactly. We have a house that's very similar, like just up the street from where I live. There's a rapid right-hand turn, and the house is maybe 15 feet, 18 feet from the road, but they have a bunch of plants out there. And every year it must get driven over 7 or 8 or 9 times, and twice in the last 20 years the house itself has been hit by cars.
Yeah. It's just like, why build it there?
Honestly, it was built in a time there were no other, there was no road there. It was the end of the road.
Yeah. It's a perp, apparently. No, apparently the Skype just dropped here. You know, we are in a storm. I am a long way out in the country. Wires can touch and short out and stuff like that. In fact, I think the whole country's in a storm. We've all got this.
Well, we had it 5 days ago that crossed the Atlantic, and now you can have it.
Yeah.
We had 3 straight days of 30-mile-an-hour winds, rain and thunder and lightning storms, and then once the rain left, we had snow. So I've got like 18 inches of snow now, and it's 11 degrees.
18 inches?
Yeah.
And you mean 11 degrees Fahrenheit?
Correct.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, we had 4 inches of snow last night, and it's gone now because the wind, we got 50 miles an hour winds. I am in Scotland, yes, sui juris. I am in northern Scotland, and I'm JP, who you may even know. Yes, you've chatted with me before. You've even sent me an email. A Guide by Ancient Science. Janet and Colin Board, yes, I know that book. That's a brilliant book, Lady Agrippa. A Guide to Ancient Sites in Britain, yes. I am in Scotland, yes, I'm in Forest. So,
hey JP, have you ever told the Rev Radio crew your how you were married in a sacred place?
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good cue. I got married to my now ex-wife, and we wanted a kind of two-way kind of, you know, we kind of live between the worlds. You know, we got these very straight families, and we got lots of kind of hippie-ish friends, let's put it that way, and so we had two ceremonies, one kind of formal one for the family to have all the flowers and the suits and all this stuff, and then the next day we went to a place called Avebury, which is one of the most ancient villages in Britain. It's got ancient stoneworks that comprise a large outer circle and bank. Two small inner circles. This is a bit like a frying pan with two eggs in it. And then trailing away from that are two stone avenues that serpentine their way across the countryside. Fantastic. And then there's also Silbury Hill next to it, which is an ancient British pyramid. So it's a really, really ancient site. And in the middle of that, built out of some of the old stones, is this chapel. And my ex-wife managed to get hold of a a defrocked priest, as you do, and he held a little ceremony for us, and it was kind of like a Quaker thing. Anyway, in the middle of this thing, about 15 Filipino Buddhists, all dressed in white, filed in. It was before after the ceremony had started, so nobody could say, hello, who are you? Everyone was just doing it, and they all filed in very quickly, silently sat at the back, until there was a space, and they started all as one voice, they gave this incantation of blessings and joy and peace and love and all these things, like a kind of speaking choir, and then before the ceremony ended, they all filed out. And I never knew. We've never found out since who asked them to come or why they came. So my wife was pregnant with my son, our son. And at that time, quite heavily pregnant. That's why we were getting married, shotgun thing. And we had a friend of hers who was a psychic, and she came right up to my wife and said, "I don't know why, but I feel I have to say this, and the name is Joseph." And this was the most incredible thing because Joseph was my father's name. It was a kind of family name that would happen, and there are lots and lots of Joseph Perrons around, and we'd also had the idea of calling him Joseph. And so the name was kind of abounding, and then suddenly when this woman comes up and says, "The name is Joseph, I don't know why I have to tell you this," that all fell into place. And, of course, that's what my son's called. And bless his heart, he's a lovely boy. He'll make a brilliant way one day. He's very interesting and compassionate. I think the main thing about him is his compassion. He's like the most compassionate young person I've ever met. Not because he's mine. So there you go. That was my experience with the Stone Circle and getting married in there.
So you had a flashbulb of Filipino monks show up in the 80s.
That's right. Yep, flash mob.
Filipino. Before there was flash mobs.
Buddhist flash mob, that's right. So there we go.
So what's your modern psychic interpretation of that? You've got 20/20 vision. Now, what do you think the universe was telling you with that memory?
I really felt that this was... there's another reason, you know, there's another meaning of the word Joseph, Yasef, is mean God will give, God will add. It was a sign that all is well with the coming of this child. He is a lovely guy. You know, I just love being around him. I don't get to be around him very much, but I just love it. No, and I don't care that he plays on the Xbox Hub most of the time, because you know, I'm on the internet most of the time as well. So in a strange
high techy way, you're still connected spiritually, yeah, and physically.
Yeah, and he's always in my heart. You know, he's just there. There's no way he can do bad things. You know, and that's I suppose that's what it is about. Somebody's giving me driving directions to Flores. 34 miles, 53. Yes, it's just over. Yeah, it'll be about an hour door to door, Dave. Dave's going to come over one day, I think. Oh, that's his address in Mirabord.
You want to tell everybody when our new show is going to be on tonight, so they can come and join us, and we could have a heck of a kickoff show.
Yeah. We're all going to be broadcasting on Wolf Spirit Radio, that'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Is that right?
I think it's 7 to 9.
Is it 7 to 9 or 6? Yeah, I can't remember if it's 6 to 9. Because I know it's after Kathy's show, and my computer won't go anywhere. All right. So yeah, haggis dinner party. I love haggis, by the way. It's a very interesting dish. My previous now housemate made a curry. He'd take vegetarian like haggis and make a curry, like you'd use mincemeat or something like that. That's haggis for you. So yes, tonight we've got this show, and I will discover when it is, and everybody knows where it is on Wolf Spirit Radio. It's possible. There is also an issue. We had a problem last week that it crashed. So you can also go to www.everbeyond.info, and that's another way of getting it. Also, you can go to journeyswithrebecca.com, and that again that holds the stream. So, brothers and sisters, thank you for sharing.